ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء وعلى اله واصحابه ومن والاه. بعد, we were talking about the connection with the Quran. So today let me remind myself and you about those people who had a connection with the Quran. It is said about Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Somebody asked his servant and they said, tell us about the private life, the life in the home of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. And the man said, from one salah, he waits for the next salah and in between he recites Quran. So right through the day, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, this was his mamul, this was his way, that he would wait for the salah. So imagine what the salah means to him. Connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, coming in the presence of Allah, something to look forward to. And between two salawat, he used to recite Quran. Now he was a businessman, he used to do business, he used to do various things. But right through that time, while he is doing his work, he is also reciting Quran. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu is the one about whom, for whom Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua. And he said, oh Allah, give him the ta'wil of the Quran, give him the understanding of the Quran. And he is the first mufassir, the first explainer of the Quran, of the Summa. Similarly, one day, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, radiallahu anhu, he was in the Masjid al-Nabawi, and he was praying some nafil, and he was reciting Quran, and he sensed a presence behind him. He sensed as if somebody was standing behind him. So when he finished his recitation, when he finished his salah, and he made salam, he turned around, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was standing behind him. He was standing behind a pillar and listening to him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised his recitation, and he said, I love the way you recite Quran. And Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah, if I had known that you were listening, I would have beautified my recitation even more. So one is to recite the Quran, the other is to recite the Quran with the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recite the Quran with the love for the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to beautify the recitation as much as possible. Try to make sure that it is recited in as correct a way, as correct a method as we know. Learn tajweed and ensure that we recite it as beautifully as possible. Right? Similarly, one day Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with him were Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and they were somewhere and they came into the masjid, and they, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard another sahabi who was standing and he was in salah and he was reciting Quran, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his two companions, he said, if you want to hear the Quran the way it was recited the day it was revealed. If you want to hear the kalam of Allah in the way it was recited the day it was revealed, listen to the recitation of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And that was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud who was reciting Quran. And see the Sahaba also, what kind of relationships they had with each other. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was completing his salah. As soon as he finished his salah and he was in the masjid, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu came running inside. And he said to him, he said, do you know what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about your recitation? He said that if you want to hear the recitation in the most beautiful way, the way it was revealed, the time it was revealed, listen to the recitation of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. So he said, this is what the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud thanked him and he said, Jazakumullahu khairan for telling me this thing, but Abu Bakr Siddiq came before you and told me this already. How these people, I mean, just imagine, he hears something good about a brother from the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they race to tell the brother because he knows he'll be so happy to hear that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised my recitation. So he goes to convey this good news. May Allah protect us today. We go to convey bad news. People will come and tell you, so and so said this bad thing about you. So and so said, this is our way. May Allah protect us. If you hear something bad, my point is, one of our asatiza, somebody came to him and he said, Hazrat, I want to tell you something about this person. He said, before you say anything, is it something good? He said, no. He said, then don't tell me. I don't want to know. He said, I don't want to know. Because if you tell me that bad thing, then that bad thing will stay in my mind and I will have all these bad thoughts about that person. For what? It does no good whatsoever. So don't tell me. It's not necessary. If my life is in danger or something like, then you tell me. You know, so-and-so is going to kill you, right? That's a different matter. But other than that, so-and-so said this about you, he said that about you, so-and-so said you are a fool, you are an idiot, who cares? First of all, who cares? What does it matter? And secondly, even if that is true, if somebody said it, either you correct the person himself and say, why are you doing ghibat? Ghibat is haram, right? Why are you telling me something wrong about so-and-so? If you think that person is a fool or a thief or whatever, you go tell him directly, no? I mean, he's there. So go tell him directly, why are you telling me? You are doing ghibat, you are doing haram. You are telling me, you are involving me also in haram. So why should I listen to you? Why should you tell me? So tell him directly to his face. You are such a great guy, go tell him. And don't carry that tale to the other person, because it unnecessarily spoils his heart for no reason. The Sahaba never did this. The Sahaba carried good news. Carried good news. And that's a good thing to do. Alhamdulillah, it's a good thing to do. Nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. The Sahaba carried good news. You know, this is what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said about you. Alhamdulillah. He thanks Allah, he feels good about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he feels good about his brother who brought the good news to him. These are all issues of tarbiyah. You know, when we read hadith, when we read things from the seerah, may Allah protect us, we just read stories. This happened. What did I take away from that? The seerah is not a history lesson. The seerah is a lesson for our own life. And the Quran al-Kareem, the seerah is the tafsir of the Quran al-Kareem. What Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what he did, what he said to people, how he did. Another sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was praying tahajjud, and he was praying tahajjud in his own camp. His horse was tied next to him, and he had a small son, and the son was sleeping by his side, by the feet, and the horse was tied close by, and he was praying tahajjud, and he was reciting Quran. And he was also one of the most beautiful reciters of the Quran. He came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In Salat al-Fajr, he came to Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, a strange thing happened today. He said, I was reciting Quran in Tahajjud. And suddenly my horse started, almost bolting. He started moving very agitatedly and jumping and so on. And he said, I was afraid, and I looked to see what was happening, and he said, I saw a cloud. A cloud had come down, and there were lights in this cloud. There were lights shining in the cloud, and this horse saw these lights and so on, and he got frightened. And I was afraid for the safety of my child, who was sleeping close to me and also close to the horse. So I shortened my recitation and I completed my salah. And he said, Rasulullah, what was this thing? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that thing, that cloud was Malaika who had come down to listen to your recitation. And he said, if you had continued your recitation, the Malaika would have remained there and the people of Madina would have seen the Malaika. See the recitation, the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the recitation of the Quran is the food for the Malaika. The Malaika come down to listen to the recitation of the Quran. And imagine the life of a person who recites the Quran all the time. He is surrounded by malaika, he is surrounded by angels. Think about this. You are going somewhere, you want to go in safety. What is the best thing to do? To have outriders, motorcycle outriders, police outriders in front of you, behind you, on the sides of you, yes? How about if you have angels as outriders? Angels ahead of you, on the sides of you, above you, below you, around you, surrounding you. How to do that? Listen to the kalam of Allah. Recite the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the malaika are drawn to you. The malaika come from all over and they surround you because you are listening to or you are reciting the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last of the incidents related, there's so many of them, but I mean, we are also short of time as for further reminders. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in a ghazwa and they were coming back. And they had gone to, there was an army which was gathering against the people of Medina, against Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, up in the Najd, very far away from Najd is where today where we have Riyadh and so on, and you know where Medina is. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had gone all the way there, and but when they reached there, they found these people had run away. They had taken to the hills, and they were not to be found. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and so on, they turned around and they were coming back. But there was danger. There was danger because these people were around. There had been no battle, so they were not vanquished. And so Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Who will guard the Muslims tonight?" Because they camped. He said, "Who will guard the Muslims tonight?" And Ammar radiallahu anhu and his Ansari brother, I think it was Khabbab radiallahu anhu who was his Ansari brother at that time. So he said that these two, they said, "We will guard the camp of the Muslims." So they had a pact between them. They said, "Well, you know, one of us will sleep half the night and the other person can stand guard, and then you wake the other person up and I will stand guard." So Ammar radiallahu anhu was the one who first chose to sleep, and Khabbab radiallahu anhu was guarding. What does a sahabi do? What does a person who loves the Quran, what does he do if he is sitting idle, if he just has to wait and watch? He recites Quran. So Khabbab radiallahu anhu, and it's appropriate, today is also Jummah, Khabbab radiallahu anhu started reciting Quran. So he stood up in tahajjud and he started praying and he started reciting Surah Al-Kahf. And he was reciting Surah Al-Kahf and he was engrossed in his recitation of the Quran. When one of the enemy, he quietly sneaked up from behind and he saw that one man is sleeping, the other man is praying. So he shot Khabbab radiallahu anhu with an arrow. The arrow hit him in the side, but he still continued to recite. He still continued his salah. The enemy, he shot another arrow. Now just think about this. The issue of people think arrows are not pinpricks. Being hit by an arrow, of course, he was wearing chainmail armor and so on. So the arrow didn't kill him, but it injured him very severely. So the arrows went inside. So the man shot a second arrow, but he continued to recite Quran. The man shot a third arrow. And by then he had lost so much blood and so on. So he completed his salah, he completed his recitation, he completed his salah, and he woke up his brother. Ammar radiallahu anhu woke up. He saw his brother in this state. By then the enemy ran away because he saw the other man also waking up. So he ran away. And he said to him, he said, "For God's sake, why didn't you wake me up?" He said, "Why didn't you wake me up?" He said, "I did not want to interrupt the recitation of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." He said, "I wanted to complete my recitation." And he was reciting Surah Al-Kahf. Imagine what kind of dedication to the kalam of Allah this is. What kind of understanding of the kalam of Allah it is. Where completely you are lost to the world. The world makes no difference to you. Pain means nothing. Suffering means nothing. Hardship means nothing. Heat means nothing. Cold means nothing. You are standing there. You are reciting the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are connected with Allah jalla wa ala. So the rest of the makhluk has no meaning. The moment you are connected with Allah, the makhluk has no meaning. I always give this example. I say that if you stare into a 1000-watt halogen bulb, it's not a good idea to do that. Don't do that. You'll actually go blind. But if you do that, if you stare into the into a very bright light, and then you look away, what do you see? You see the same bright light. You cannot see. You are temporarily blinded. If you look at this bright light and you turn away, then you can't see what is there. You get blinded and you only see that light. Now this was the state of the Sahaba Rizwanullahi alayhim ajmain. We ask Allah to give us the same connection with him, where once you see the glory and majesty of Allah, you don't see anything else. You are blinded to everything else. Then the glory and majesty, the power and wealth and so on and so forth of this dunya has no meaning whatsoever. Absolutely no meaning whatsoever. Because you have looked at the glory and majesty of Allah. And that glory and majesty of Allah is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has the power to change hearts. It has the power to make people who have enmity towards Islam to turn towards Islam. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu hid himself behind the, he inserted himself behind the Kiswa of the Kaaba, behind the ghilaf, the cover of the Kaaba, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was praying, he was reciting, he was in tahajjud. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu came out of his house, he was looking for his friends because he wanted to go and have a drink. But it was very late in the night and none of his friends were available and none of the liquor shops were open. So Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, I decided to go to the Kaaba to make tawaf. He said, when I went there, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam praying. So he said, I thought to myself, I am going to frighten him. So he said, I inserted myself behind the cover of the Kaaba and I walked around the Kaaba inside, between the cover and the wall of the Kaaba. And he said, I came and stood in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reciting Quran. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, I could not do what I came to do. And he said, that is when Islam actually entered my heart. He became Muslim much later, but he said, that is when Islam actually entered my heart, when I listened to the recitation of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he came with a bad intention, but that intention he did not complete. And there is details of which ayah Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reciting and what happened and the thoughts in the mind of Umar ibn al-Khattab. All of this is narrated in the seerah. But so I won't go into the details of that. But Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, that is when the Quran entered my heart. That is when Islam entered my heart. At that time, even though he became Muslim later on. I remind myself and you, my brothers, to love the kalam of Allah. Recite Quran every single day. Let not a day pass when you have not recited Quran. Make tahajjud fard on yourself. Even if you pray two rakat, play that two rakat. No matter what, as long as you are alive, even if you are sick, even if you have fever, don't worry about the fatawa, whether you should pray tahajjud when you are sick. This is a issue not of fatwa, issue of taqwa, issue of the hub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are sick, do you take medicine or you don't take medicine? Tahajjud is medicine. The Quran is healing. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll talk about the gifts of the Quran. But today, the connections of people who knew the Quran, the people who loved the Quran. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was no one who loved the Quran more than the one who received the Quran. And there was no one who loved the Quran more than the one who heard it from the one who received the Quran. And this is the best of the best generation. There is no generation which is superior to theirs. They are the people who were witness to the nuzul of the Quran. They, for them, asbabun nuzul were things that they had actually seen. These were the people who heard the kalam of Allah for the first time from the tongue of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was their connection with the kalam of Allah. And that kalam of Allah is the thing which was their sustenance, it was their food, it was their weapon, it was their armor, it was their medicine, it was their resource in life. I remind myself and you that the same resource is for us. Same resource, without any change. See the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not allow this kalam to be changed even by one dot, by one letter, by one word in the whole kalam. We have, alhamdulillah, biznillahi ta'ala, we have the kalam today in our hands exactly as it was revealed to Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without any changes. Therefore, it still has the power to do what it used to do on that day. But if we find that in our life, it is not doing that, then the fault lies with us. It is because we have no connection with it. The medicine is no use if it is sitting in a bottle on a shelf. For the medicine to do effect, for the medicine to have an effect, we have to eat it. We have to take that medicine. If we do not take the medicine, if we leave it on a bottle, leave it in a bottle, no matter how beautiful this bottle, beautiful, absolutely a beautiful crystal bottle with a gold cap and so on, but it is sitting on the shelf, that medicine will do nothing and you will die. Even though the medicine to cure you is with you, is in your control, is in your hands. And that's why it is very important for us to take the medicine. And to take the medicine of the Quran means to read the Quran, to understand the Quran, and to live our lives according to the Quran. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it possible for us, make it easy for us, and to be pleased with us, and to help us to enjoy this gift that He has given us, which is His kalam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahim.